Praise the Lord, everybody.
It is so good to be here. And so much has been said and felt that it would be hard for me to add to it. I will say this quickly, though. You know Brother and Sister Keys as a pastor. And some of you here know him as family. And it's already been said that he is respected both as a pastor and as a man that lives the life with his family. I know Brother Keys not only as a fellow minister, and I did know him that way. And he always had my respect. But the last few years, as he's mentioned, our life has became entwined in a very, very deep and real way. And there's a few people in life that the more you're around them and the more you know about them, sometimes with some people it takes the shine off. It's because you had an image, and then you may find out they're still good, but they weren't quite what you thought. But I want to say that with Brother Keys, the more that I know of him and his heart, the more I am impressed with him. And he is a man of God. He is a man of God. And my respect for him is unbounding. And you're a blessed people. And I made this statement to this church 8 years ago. It was said three times of Solomon the king, by a queen and two kings. They said, surely God must have loved Israel to make you a king over that nation. And Brother Keys is not a king, makes no portent to be so. But I am going to say this. God loves this church because not only did he give you Brother Rhody, give this city Brother Rhody and Brother Dansby, but God loves this city and loves this church because he has given you Brother and Sister Keys and their family. God loves this church. And count yourself very, very fortunate. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Now, the hour does not worry me. I'll tell you why. Because this church has been built by preaching. And any church that is built by preaching knows the value of preaching. Hallelujah. And therefore, I'm not worried tonight about vying for your attention between me and your watch. That doesn't worry me. I have full confidence in you. Praise God. And I am going to say this. What I have to preach tonight is different. I know it's different. And I've asked God many times, are you sure? But I'm sure tonight. I am more sure tonight. But it is different. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I was so thankful. He didn't need to say it. But we have honored three tremendous men of God. Brother Keys, I appreciate him saying tonight, what do you say, we honor the God that brought it all to pass. And what I have to preach, I think, will honor both the men and the God that gave them. I want to begin reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to begin with verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And I'd like you to pay very close attention to the last amazing statement. And who is sufficient for these things? And who is sufficient for these things? I'd like for us to pray and ask that God would speak to every heart. Lord God, we love you, Jesus. I am asking you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, unabashedly, I'm asking you for your anointing. I'm asking God that it would rest on me and that it would rest on every man, every woman, every young person in this building tonight. I'm asking God that a spirit of revelatory understanding would go into the depths of every soul in this building, God. This people have gathered together to commemorate 50 years of your work in this city. And God, we know it's just the beginning. And we're asking in the name of Jesus that you'd touch every heart and every mind and every soul, God. Teach us and lead us, God. Mold us and make us into exactly what you want us to be, and show us exactly what you want us to do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you. God, we worship you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name. God bless you so very much. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, I think it's important to tell you when, where, and how I received this message. It was on a Sunday morning early. I do strive to bring to the church that I pastor what I hope is the finest of the wheat, at least I can try and glean. And I do not take any service lightly. And it was on a Saturday evening, very late. I stayed up with my Bible and my God, and I cast the pole, the line out in many various fishing holes trying to come up with a message. And it wasn't there. And God in His mercy does tend to many times early in the morning, before everything else crowds in, tend to speak to me. And so I've gone to bed on a few occasions in that state and awoke to have His presence talk into my heart and give me some of the word of the Lord for His people. When I woke this morning, I looked up and it wasn't there. And I felt before me, behind me, and it wasn't there. And that's not a good feeling. And I laid there, and then the problems begin to come, and knowing that, well, anyway. And this thought, I laid there, and I felt so helpless, is the word I can put it. And I thought, oh God, who is sufficient for these things? Just totally unable to do anything. And as I laid there and I thought about feeling so totally insufficient, then God in His mercy came on the scene and began to talk to me. I prayed long and hard daily about this service because I wanted to do you justice and your pastor justice and the work of God justice and most of all God justice. And when a few days ago He brought this message back to my mind, I thought, oh man, surely not. But surely we will. The Apostle Paul was an amazing man. Everything he said is amazing. All of it can be dissected to the depths and you'll never touch bottom. But in these few short verses, he amazes me how that He can speak so boldly, so powerfully, with such an awesome reach of faith and confidence
And then in the last statement, show total, stark, absolute humanity. He said, now thanks be unto God, which always, everybody say always,
always,
which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Now that's an amazing statement. I don't ask for a show of hands, but in your own heart, in your own mind, can you say, do you feel that you can say, I always triumph? If you can, you're doing better than me. Paul said it though. He said, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. And not only that, he makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Boy, that's a statement. Let me read this to you in some other versions. In one version, he said, who leads me on from place to place in the train of his triumph. And another one says, who through our union with Christ leads us in one continual triumph. My. Another place, he said, wherever I go, thank God he makes my life a constant pageant of triumph in Christ. Woo, that's pretty lofty words, isn't it? You say, we're just down here with these Okies, man. What are you talking about? Let me read on. He said, he maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Let me read this version to you. He uses us to spread the sweet odor of the knowledge of him in every place. Another one says, displaying everywhere through us the sweetness of the knowledge of him. Another one says, diffusing the perfume of his knowledge everywhere by me. And another one says, who evidences through us in every place the fragrance that results from knowing him. But I think the best one says this, and makes our knowledge of him spread throughout the world like a lovely perfume. Like a lovely perfume. What you have, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to this world that is filled with such hopelessness and despair. And if you please, amen, the stench of an utterly demoralized society that cannot find help anywhere that it looks. And yet you and I have the ability to come into a room or to come into a home or to come into a life. Hallelujah. And the knowledge of Jesus Christ that we have is diffused like a perfume throughout the whole world. I do not think, I don't believe we realize the power of the gospel that God has entrusted unto us. Somehow we think we're just in church. We are more than just in church. Hallelujah. We have a knowledge of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that the whole world is starving for. He said to all people, we affect them one way or the other. And that is true. Understand, we don't make everybody happy. But everybody in one way, shape, or form feels our presence. Everybody, and you can go through the Gospels, everybody that Jesus met, he affected them one of three ways. Invariably, he made them mad, sad, or glad. There was little middle ground, friend. Mad, sad, or very glad. Hallelujah. And there's something about the church of the living God. It when God put it in the earth, it was like he dropped a plumb line. Hallelujah. And when he did, friend, I want you to know he made manifest the hearts of men by the gospel. Hallelujah. And everybody we meet, it's mad, sad, or very glad. Hallelujah. He said to the one with a savor of death unto death, we smell like death to some people. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't let that bother you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you also. Paul put it on this wise. If they think I stink, they'll think you stink. You can't make everybody happy. And people get in trouble when they try to make everybody happy. I want you to know, we're the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. It doesn't mean that we're purposefully arrogant. It doesn't mean that we go out of our way to be ugly. But there's something about it. When you declare the beauty of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, amen, be glad for those that say, I want it. I love it. It's what I've been looking for. I need it. Give me more. Hallelujah. Amen. There's always been acceptors and there's always been rejectors. Hallelujah. What you do when you find an acceptor is you take him into the fold. When you find a rejector, you go to the next one and then to the next one and then to the next one until you find an acceptor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this was the Apostle Paul's life in a capsule. And when he wrote it, with a flourish, maybe he stopped and he looked at the enormity of it and he gulped and said, really, who's sufficient for these things? Who's able? Who's got it? Who is sufficient for these things? Let me read to you that word sufficient means literally to arrive or to be competent. It means to be ample, as in amount. Paul was saying, who is competent enough for this? Who is ample, as in amount? Who is fit, as in character? Who is able? Who is good, as in good enough? Who is great as in great enough? Who is large as in large enough? Who in the world is worthy as in worthy enough? Sufficiency, according to Webster, means sufficient means, ability, or resources. Specifically, an ample amount or quantity of what is needed, i.e. enough wealth, enough income, enough, whatever. When you look at the world we are living in, when you look at the needs that are before us, amen, it'll cause anybody to stop in their track and say, who is sufficient for these things? Who has enough? Who knows enough? Who understands enough? Who has enough ability? Who among us is able to get the job done? Who is sufficient for these things? One version says, who is equal to such a task? Another one says, and for such service as this, who is competent? Who is qualified for this career? Moffat said, Goodspeed put it this way, who is qualified for this task? And I think Phillips' version puts it the very best, who could think himself adequate for a responsibility like this? Who could ever think themselves adequate enough for a responsibility like this? Brother Keys, I need you to read for me. Brother Hall, why don't you grab a mic? I'd like you to do some reading also. I believe that Jesus, Brother Keys, go to Luke chapter 9. Jesus, because we're made in his image and because he was made like unto us, and he knows our downsittings and our uprisings and our thoughts afar off. He is acquainted with all of our ways, the words that we speak for the get off the end of our tongues. He knows our nature. He's always known what is in man.
Yes.
And to whom he can commit himself to and to whom he cannot. And so he committed himself to 12 apostles. No doubt they felt so glad that this miracle worker, that this teacher, this man that spoke like no other, would actually call them by name and say, I want you to follow me. No wonder they readily threw their nets down and started after him. And so one day, he was fixing to send them out on a journey. In the 9th chapter of the book of Luke, Brother Keys, please begin reading with verse 1.
Then he called his disciples together.
He called them, come on, big boys, come here.
And he gave them power and authority.
And he gave them power and authority. Now, I don't know how he did that. I don't know if he laid hands on them. I don't know if he breathed on them. I don't know what he did. I don't know what he did. But somehow he gave it and they received it. And he knew they got it and they knew they got it.
Right.
Because they used it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they snapped their heads or what they did. Mm-hmm. But they got it.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
Power and authority over all devils.
Over all devils.
And to cure diseases.
And to cure diseases. I don't think that he gave them something and let them to go out and figure out what they had. I believe he told them when he gave it, I have just given you power over all devils.
Yes.
I've just given you power over all diseases.
Yes.
Now that's pretty heady.
Yes.
They probably thought, man, I was good before, but I am double good now.
Yeah.
I've got it. Read.
And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God.
And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God.
And to heal the sick.
And to heal the sick. Read.
And he said unto them.
And so, as they stood there feeling this, couldn't wait to get loose, he said unto them,
take nothing for your journey.
Boys, don't take anything for your journey. Well, what's he mean by that? Well, he spelled it out.
Neither staves.
Put your staves down.
Nor script.
Get your script out. Get rid of your pocketbook.
Neither bread.
No bread.
Neither money.
No money.
Neither have two coats
apiece. Do you understand what he was doing? He was having a shakedown.
Yeah.
If he was doing it to you and me, he'd say, all right, boys, give me your credit cards. Give me your money. Get it all out.
Yeah.
Shake down city.
Yeah.
Get rid of your shirts.
No, don't do that.
Yeah. He just. Come on, any more money?
Well, no.
You got any bread?
Not now.
How about your script?
No, it's gone.
Now, don't you know that made them feel a little like you'd probably feel if you break down on Highway 99 tonight and you don't have a dime on you?
Uh-huh.
No card to call nobody?
Uh-huh.
No telephone around?
Nothing.
And you're in a mess. You're in a pickle.
Yeah.
You feel vulnerable.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden you start coming down to reality. You know, I'm really just flesh.
Uh-huh.
And if he don't help me, I'm in one big mess.
Yeah.
He said, I've given you power and I've given you authority, but I'm taking away from you anything you might trust in. Because you've got to understand, amen, that I am your help and I am your sustenance. I'm the one that'll mold you. I'm the one that'll make you. I'm the one that'll lead you. I'm the one that'll guide you. Hallelujah. It's not in yourselves. It's in me. Hallelujah. So he shook them down of everything. And he sent them out into the cities without a dime in their pocket or a number to call or a place to go or a friend to meet. But they went and they preached the gospel and God provided for them. They had a place to stay and they had food to eat. They had a place, amen, to lay their head at night.
Amen.
And what's more, they cast out devils and they healed the sick and they preached the gospel.
Yeah.
Now I want you to know, Jesus Christ is not against us having these things. And he was not against them having them. Because in the 22nd chapter of the same book, amen, just prior to his death, burial, and resurrection, he said, remember when I sent you out without purse or stave or scrip or bread or money? And they said, yes. He said, did you lack anything? They said, no. He said, okay, now go get it. Go get it. Get your purse. Go get your money. Go get your scrip. I'm not against you having those things, but I am against you trusting in it. I'm not against you, amen, the blessings of God being on you. But somewhere, don't you ever forget, you've got to have God. It's going to take God. You've got to have Him from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And I want to tell you something. God wants to bless His church. I said God wants to bless His church. I said God wants to bless His church. And if we can get an understanding, God, all I am is a vessel through whom you want to work. I don't feel sufficient.
No.
But here I am. And I trust you that you'll use me. These men,
John 6,
these men came back, and you can study it for yourself. What takes place next was a direct result of these men's ministry. They went out thitherfoot into all cities. When they came back, the Bible said people came out of all cities. Why did they come to Jesus and give them no leisure, not so much even to eat? They came as a direct result of His disciples preaching. And so here they were. Here was the multitude. And the disciples had been very successful. And they looked on the multitudes. And I can hear them. And I don't know that this was said, but you don't know that it wasn't. So tonight we'll hear my story, praise God. And it probably was along this wise, because they were human like we are human. I can see Peter, James, and John walking back. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That guy was big, and the devil in him was three times bigger. But just one word, and pop, he was out. And another one, I never knew, Andrew, that you could preach like that. But what was even better was how good I preached. And they went on. They had success. And they came out of all cities. And so Jesus was going to teach the people. And He did teach them. But He needed to feed them. So listen to this. Read verse 5.
When Jesus lifted up His eyes.
When He lifted up His eyes.
And saw a great company. He saith unto Philip. Whence shall we buy bread? That these may eat.
And on another wise He said it. Hey boys, give you them to eat. Did you get your money back from the Lord? He shook us down. Judas, check it out. How much we got? 200 penny worth. Lord, we have 200 penny worth.
Read. And this He said to prove him.
Now He said this whole, set up this whole scenario to prove Philip and to prove his buddies. Why?
For He Himself knew what He would do.
He knew what He was going to do. He knew that there was a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He knew He was fixing to have them set them down in companies. He knew He was going to feed them. He knew there was going to be 12 baskets full of crumbs. Hallelujah. But He's proved them. He said, hey boys, feed them. Who's sufficient? Are you sufficient? I'm not sufficient. How about you? How much you got? I got
43 cents.
How about you? Are you able? I don't feel very able right now. They finally said, well, we've got 200 penny worth. But what is this among so many? Now, 200 penny worth was 200 days' wages. And I'm going to tell you something. They could have fed them. They said, but that every man might take a little money. Have they bought 200 days wages worth of food to feed 5,000 men, let alone women and children? Everybody could have ate crumbs. They'd have got just enough that it would have tasted something on their mouth, but it would have left them empty and unsatisfied. And I'm going to tell you something without any rancor at all, because I used to sit on those pews. I want you to know that in pulpits all over this nation, there are people that are feeding the people, amen, out of their own abilities. They picked it up somewhere. They got it out of a book. Amen. They don't have the unction. They don't have the power. They don't have the anointing. And they don't see the need. They got a feeling that if they just give them something they learned in seminary, they can feed them. But that's the reason people believe service after service, Sunday after Sunday, and they've got a few crumbs, but nobody's full. Nobody's got the joy of the Lord. Nobody's got the power. Nobody's got the anointing. Nobody's got the ministry, because they've been fed out of individuals' own ability. And I want you to know, whenever you feed anybody out of your own intellect, out of your own ability, I want you to know it won't cut the mustard. The job won't be done. But if somehow you can get a hold of the King of Kings, the giver of all life, and say, Lord, if you'll bless the bread, God, if you'll break the bread, God, if you'll give it to me, I'll distribute it. And there's something about it when people come out of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, baptized in Jesus' name, one God apostolic service, where they've been fed the bread of life. Everybody goes home full. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They've got something that'll tide them over to Monday and Tuesday. Amen. And they'll be there Wednesday night, and they're ready to eat again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, boys, I don't mind breaking the bread, and I don't mind blessing the bread, and I don't mind distributing the bread. That's what I came for. I just want you to know, but in yourself, you're not sufficient. But man, if you'll look to me, there's no end. There's no end. There's no end. Sometimes, amen, even with a congregation like this, we look around at the fields that are so big, that are so vast, that are so unbelievable. And our first inclination is to say, God, who is sufficient? And here's the answer. Nobody. 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 But He is. Whew. He is. Hallelujah. There's something about it. Whenever, through the word of the Lord, Brother Keith, go to Exodus 3. Whenever God chose men, feeling their insufficiency had within it its own blessings, as long as they didn't go to seed on it. The disciples felt their insufficiency. Yea, He made them feel it so that they would learn to lean on Him. And once they learned the art of leaning on Him, He didn't mind letting them have two purses, two coats, or anything else. But you got to understand, you got to lean on Him. You got to lean on Him. You got to lean on Him. You got to lean on Him.
My God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He's always glad for our 200 penny worth. But I'm going to tell you something. That's just scratching the surface. Hallelujah. Compared to what He can do. If we'll just get it from Him and distribute it amongst the people. Yes. Hallelujah. As long as King Saul, the Bible said, as long as he was small in his own sight, God wrought great things with him. As long as he felt his insufficiency, when he began to think that he had it within himself, it was the beginning of his end. when Elijah was under the juniper tree, actually being eat up with feelings of insufficiency. He was being devoured by it. He said, I'm no better than my fathers. They led this people into idolatry, and I can't get them out. But it was God that looked down and said, I know how you're feeling, but I'm going to tell you something. What are you doing under this tree? You're not through. I got a greater work than you've ever dreamed of. You just hang in there. You just trust me. Hallelujah. And the list goes on and on and on. Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, don't say you're a child. Simon Peter, depart from me. I'm a wicked man. Everybody felt it at some time or another. I guess one of the greatest men in the word of the Lord and the meekest man on earth. A man that really did, was so familiar with his insufficiency, was a man named Moses. One time he felt sufficient. He felt able. He felt competent. He had been raised and reared in Pharaoh's house. He was learned in all the art and the wisdom of the Egyptians. One day he saw, amen, an Egyptian taskmaster beating on an Israeli slave. And his sufficiency rose up. He thought, surely everybody will understand when this day is over that God has raised me up to be their deliverer. So he slew the Egyptian, cast his lot with the people of God. The reward for his bold act was a 40-year stint on the backside of the desert. And don't you know, after 40 years of looking at shrubs and stubs and bleating sheep, and he was 80 years old, my life's past, it's over and done, my dreams are gone, I'll never be anything, I'll never do anything. I tried, but I found out I'm a failure. About that time, the bush started burning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, you're getting warm now, son. Hallelujah. It's not you to begin with. It's me. Hallelujah. And if it took 40 years for you to learn it, that's fine with me. Hallelujah. Because now I can begin to do something with you. So, in chapter 3, beginning with verse 10, God begins to speak to him. He said, I've heard the groanings and the cries of my people, and I've sent you to go deliver them. And he felt his insufficiency so much. Listen.
Come now, therefore. And I will send thee unto Pharaoh.
I'm going to send you.
That thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Read.
And Moses said unto God.
Who
am I?
Who am I? Have you ever felt like saying that?
Yes.
Who am I, God? Oh, yeah. Who am I?
Oh, yeah.
We don't even feel fit, amen, to talk to our neighbors. Who am I? Let alone reach the whole world. I'm going to tell you something. We ain't nobody.
That's right.
But God's answer was everything. Read.
That I should go unto Pharaoh. And
who am I that I should go?
And that I should speak forth, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt.
Read.
And he said.
And God said.
Certainly I will be with you.
Certainly I will be with you. I want you to know, friend, if it was just you and I in this building tonight, we may as well pack it up and go play ping pong. But honey, it's not just you and I. Hallelujah. He said, hey, certainly I will be with you. And if you've got God on your side, you've got all you need in the whole wide world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Moses, he wasn't quite ready. Verse 13.
And Moses said unto God.
So Moses said unto God.
Behold. When I come unto the children of Israel.
When I go to this people.
And shall say unto them.
And I tell them.
The God of your fathers has sent me.
The God of your fathers has sent me.
And they shall say to me.
They're going
to
say.
What is his name?
What's his name?
And what shall I say to them?
What am I going to say, God? Aren't you glad that when God gives you a job, He not only goes with you, but He said, hey, you want a name? I'll give you a name. I'll give you a name that's above every name. I'll give you a name that every knee in heaven and earth is going to bow to and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. I'll give you a name that is above every name. Hallelujah. I'll give you a name whereby under heaven nobody's going to be saved by any other. Woo! So when you begin to wonder what all you got God and you got His name. Woo! Hallelujah. That takes care of a whole lot of insufficiency right there. We got Him and we got His name. Chapter 4. Listen to this. Begin reading verse 1.
And Moses answered and said...
So Moses, you know, he said...
But behold... They will not believe me.
They won't believe me.
Nor hearken unto my voice.
They're not going to hearken to me.
For they will say...
They'll say...
The Lord hath not appeared unto thee.
God hasn't appeared unto you. Who makes you think... What makes you think you're something? Read.
And the Lord said unto him...
And the Lord said unto him...
What is that in thine hand?
What you got in your hand, boy?
And he said, a rod?
It's a rod that I lean on and I get weary in the daytime. It's something I have to lean on. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You still use it, but you'll never have to lean on it if you learn how to lean on me. Hallelujah. He said, throw your rod down. And he threw it down and it turned into a snake. And no doubt the man began to run back. And God said, hey, pick it up. And I used to have a friend that I grew up with, and he'd go out and catch bull snakes. I never saw him do it with a rattlesnake, but he'd do it with bull snakes, you know, and he'd snap at them. They'll strike like a rattler, and he'd go. And when it'd strike, his other hand would grab the snake behind the head. I watched him from a distance. Moses, no doubt, when God said, take up that snake, he probably thought, okay, I'll sneak up on its blind side and I'll catch it behind the head. God said, take it by the tail. Yeah. Worst spot. You think Moses didn't feel vulnerable?
Oh, my.
Who is sufficient to take that thing by the tail? But I'm going to tell you something. Our insufficiency don't mean nothing to God.
No.
As long as we'll act on what He tells us to do. Do you hear me? If we'll act on what He tells us to do, our feelings of inferiority don't mean nothing to Him. Because He took it and it turned back into a rod. And one day He'd stretch out that rod over the Red Sea and the whole thing.
Yes!
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
My God.
Go to the pulpit and talk about His hand in the bosom.
And the Lord said furthermore unto him,
furthermore,
put now thine hand into thy bosom.
Take your hand and put it in your bosom.
And he put his hand into his bosom.
Now that's no small feat. But when he pushed it, it went in. And when he brought it out, what does it say, Brother Keys?
And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow.
His hand was leprous as snow. There is an analogy there. Paul said, I know that in me, that is my flesh, there dwelleth no good things. And I want you to know, whenever we reach into ourselves, that's what this New Age business and all of that stuff, they talk about reach into your inner self. Let me tell you something. If you don't got the Holy Ghost and you're reaching into your inner self, all you're going to come out with is leprosy, because that's all there is. I said that's all there is.
All there is.
Hallelujah. But honey, in the day you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ is alive and well inside of you, when you reach inside, hallelujah, you're going to bring forth a glory and a power that the world longs for. In ourselves, we are insufficient. But in Him, there's everything. He did not give up. He's kind of a stubborn fella. Go to verse 10. Now you can't take this insufficiency thing too far.
And Moses said unto the Lord.
So now Moses said unto the Lord.
Oh my Lord.
Oh my Lord.
I am not eloquent.
I am
not Ella. Ella, I can't talk good, God. You want me to go talk to Pharaoh, let alone 2 to 3 million Jews? I am not eloquent. I can't talk. Anybody ever feel that way? I can't talk. I can't talk. Read what God said.
Neither heretofore.
I haven't been able to talk good before.
Nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant.
And since that bush has been burned, I still have a hard time.
I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue.
I'm slow of speech and slow tongue, you all. Hallelujah. Read.
And the Lord said unto him.
Amen. That's why in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, in that day and hour when you're delivered up, he said, don't take no thought what you're going to say, for it's the Spirit of your Father that speaketh. And I like this. In the book of Mark, amen, he said, take no thought what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost in you speaketh. And I like what he said in Luke 21. Take no thought what you shall say, for I, the same exact words that he told Moses, I will give you a mouth. Yes. I want you to know, oh, and that's a good point right there. Hallelujah. To those who don't believe that God is three separate persons.
Yeah.
Well, he said in that day you delivered up, amen, the Father's going to speak out of your mouth. He said the Holy Ghost is going to speak out of your mouth. And he said, I'm going to speak out of your mouth. So when we witness, who's talking? I want you to know, these three are one. It's Jesus,
yes,
from start to last.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
He'll give us a mouth. I can't talk. I can't teach. No, but you let the Holy Ghost start working.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Who is sufficient? Nobody. But through Christ, I can do all things. Moses didn't give up. Listen, verse 13.
And he said, O my Lord.
O my Lord.
Send, I pray thee.
Send, I pray thee.
By the hand of him whom thou wilt send.
Now, most versions will tell you what he's saying. God, find somebody that can do it and send them. And these feelings of inferiority had done gone too far. God is a perfect balance God. He wanted his disciples to feel it. But he didn't want them demolished. He don't mind you feeling inferior. In fact, when we get done, and I'm not going to be all that much longer, we get done. But when we get done, you need to understand, your feelings of inferiority are some of your greatest strengths. Hallelujah. If they'll cause you to turn to him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you'll readily say, well, God, I said I couldn't do it to begin with. But if you'll help me. Oh, hallelujah. So he said, send whom thou wilt send. And listen to this.
And the anger of the Lord.
And the anger of the Lord.
Was kindled against Moses.
Okay. God got angry. Enough is enough. You can do it. You can do it. Sir, you can do it. Ma'am, you can do it. Hallelujah. Young person, I want to tell you something. You can do it. You say, I don't feel it. Good for you. Hallelujah. If you thought you could do it, I might be worried about you. Hallelujah. But if you understand, it's not me to begin with. Hallelujah. But somehow, I've got keyed in to something bigger than me. Something greater than I.
Oh.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Apostle Paul had a revelation of this like nobody had a revelation. 2 Corinthians, both of you. Paul had a revelation. The same man that said God causes us to triumph always said in another place in the same series of letters to the same people, he said it was like this. Outside were fightings. Inward were fears. Fears. He had them. He had to fight them. But he knew what to do with them. And he knew where to go with them.
He knew, hallelujah, not to be afraid to place anything and commit anything into the hands of whom with he believed. In the third chapter, 2 Corinthians, Brother Keyes began reading with verse 5.
Not that we are sufficient of ourselves.
Not that we are sufficient of ourselves.
To think anything as of ourselves.
To think anything as of ourselves. Let me read something to you. I'm telling you, the man had a revelation. Not that I am of myself qualified to claim anything as originating with me. Good speed version. New Testament and basic English. Not as if we were able by ourselves to do anything for which we might take the credit. Phillips, not that we are in any way confident of our own resources. New English Bible. There is no question of our being qualified in ourselves. We cannot claim anything as our own. Paul had a revelation. Not I.
What a revelation.
But Christ that dwelleth in me. I'm going to tell you what I'm sensing right now. And you don't have to be a prophet. But I'm sensing this very strong. That many of you think, I believe all that. But I have a hard time believing it applies to me. I have a hard time believing it's me that he's in love with. He may be willing to do it for Paul. But I don't know that he's willing to do it for me. I'm here to tell you tonight, put him to the test.
Yeah.
Check him out.
Yeah.
Prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts.
Yeah.
And see if I will not pour out upon you, that I will not pour out upon you blessings that you cannot contain. Hallelujah. He said, not that I am of myself qualified to claim anything, but read the rest of it.
But our sufficiency.
Our sufficiency. Not just mine, but our. Everybody in the building.
Yes.
Our sufficiency.
Is of God.
Is of God. Read.
Who also hath made us able ministers.
Who hath made us able. He's made us able.
Yes.
He's made us able. I'm not able in myself, but he makes me able.
Yes.
I can't do it in myself,
yes,
but he makes me able.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to the 9th chapter, Brother Keys. Hallelujah. Brother Hall, chapter 4. I want you to read verses 8 and 9. Here is a human being living for Jesus Christ that God chose from his mother's womb. And God ordained him to be a prophet. Read what he said.
We are troubled on every side.
We are troubled on every side.
Yet not distressed.
But we're not distressed. Why are we not distressed? Because thank God we're not in this alone. Woo! Read.
We are perplexed.
We are perplexed.
But not in despair.
But thank God we're never in despair. Read.
Persecuted.
We're persecuted. We don't make everybody happy.
But not forsaken.
But we're never, ever forsaken. Because he said, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Hallelujah.
Never.
Now, why is all this? Why did God choose it this way? Why did God ordain it this way? Read verse 7.
But we have this treasure.
But we have this treasure.
In earthen vessels.
Inadequate. Insufficient. Incompetent earthen vessels. Why?
That the excellency,
that the excellency
of the power,
of the power
may be of God,
may be of God,
and not of us,
and not of us. It's not us. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's why He doesn't mind you feeling bad. Because when you feel good, you know who to praise. You know who to thank. Woo, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Woo. Chapter 9. Read verse 8.
And God is able.
And God is able.
To make all grace abound toward you.
To make all grace abound. Everybody say abound.
Abound.
Abound towards you.
That you always having.
That you always having.
All sufficiency.
All sufficiency.
In all things.
In all things. He says He causes me always to triumph. You know how come He could say always? Because He got a revelation. He got a revelation. It wasn't me to begin with. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the ending. I'm just glad He let me in on this train. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He's able to make all grace abound towards me, that in all things, read,
may abound to every good work.
May abound to every good work. Every. Go to chapter 12. I want us to stand. Give us a revelation. Give us an understanding. Put it in our heart. Put it in our soul. Put it in our mind. I don't know when, where, and how God revealed it all to him. I think it was over a process of time. But there came a point in Paul's life. It was so moving, so touching, so glorious, that when he spoke of it, he could bring himself to do no more than to speak of it as in the third person. He said, I knew a man, whether in the flesh or the spirit, I know not. But 14 years ago, he was taken to the third heaven. A human being with faults and problems and inabilities and inferiorities got to go to heaven. And God showed him things and spoke to him things too wonderful to even mention when he came back to terra firma. I think the reason Paul spoke of it in third person is possibly this. When he came back, ooh, did he feel good. People said, where you been, Paul? Around. I've been a few places. I haven't seen you for a while. I went up yonder. He is feeling his oats. And I don't know when it was and how it was and what happened. Yeah. But one day, a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him. I don't know what it was. I've heard everything from bad eyes to a bad wife. I don't think it was a bad wife, because he said, I would that all ye were even as I. Hallelujah. Heard it was defiant Jews. Whatever it was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. You got a good spirit, Brother Hall? Come here. You feeling your oats? God's blessed you. You got a big smile on your face. And all of a sudden, what was that? Can I tell you something? I'm going to interject this right here. You ever seen a preacher with a silver spoon in their mouth? They're missing something. They're lacking something. There's not an appreciation and an understanding. I want to make this statement here and now. I don't know if he's ever told you, but I wish you could have went back a few years ago. You didn't really tell the whole history, Brother Keys. Because there is a day you need to speak of when you and your wife were pastoring in Fireball trying to build a church. And your wife would have to go to the local grocery store. And all she had enough money for was to buy 2 pieces of bread. And I think it was a piece of cheese or a piece of ham. And the grocer felt sorry for her and he gave her a free piece of meat a day, I believe. Something like that. Enough to buy 1 sandwich a day. You talk about being bereft, having nothing and nobody to lean on. But I gotta trust you. I don't have anybody in heaven but you, God. And there's not a preacher worth their salt but what they've gone through those kind of days. It's when God shakes them down and lets them know what it's like to do without anything and everything. So that when He does bless, they still learn never to trust in it. Never to trust in it. I trust in the living God. Hallelujah. So maybe Paul was feeling good and then the messenger came and began to buffet him and beat on him and shake him down and bother him. Hope you got a good spirit, brother. I'm feeling this. Hallelujah. He'd kick him, not really, and rag him and bother him. And it didn't happen.
Need a battery.
I'll be done in just a minute. He bothered him. He ragged him. And so finally the apostle began to pray. And he said, God, I beseech you, deliver me. I don't want it. I can't take it. I can't stand it. I was feeling pretty good, but I don't mind telling you, whatever this thing is, it's about got me beat down. I never felt so weak. I never felt so tired. I never felt so incompetent. Why is this thing turned loose on me? And he besought him once, yea, twice, yea, 3 times. And while he knelt in humble supplication, feeling his frailties, feeling his infirmities, God spoke to him. Hallelujah. And began reading in verse 9.
And he said unto me,
and he said unto me,
my grace is sufficient for thee.
My grace is sufficient for thee.
For my strength is made perfect in
weakness. My strength is made perfect
in weakness.
In weakness. Sometimes we get in our minds we got to be Superman. You don't got to be Superman. You don't got to be Superwomen. All you got to be is human beings that love God and trust God and believe God and realize God can do it through me as well as He can anybody in the world. You don't need to be a Superman. Just a human with faith in God. Read on.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory.
I don't glory anymore in the things I used to glory in. But I glory
in my infirmities.
In my infirmities.
That the power of Christ may rest upon me.
That the power of Jesus Christ may rest on me. Oh God, help us to get this tonight. Help us to get this tonight.
Yeah.
Your infirmities are not your enemies unless you let them be. Yeah. Take them to God.
Yes.
Glory in them.
Yeah.
So that the glory of God. Read.
Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities.
Infirmities.
And reproaches.
I take pleasure in reproaches.
In necessities.
I take pleasure in necessities.
In persecutions.
I take pleasure in persecutions.
In distresses.
I take pleasure in distresses.
For Christ's sake.
For Christ's sake.
For when I am weak.
For when I am weak.
Then I am strong.
Then I am strong. Then I am strong. Let's love Him right now.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Lord God, I love You. Hallelujah. 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 Kurabahatara labo shatoria katara laboria sataya. Uramando rabo kutara laboria satara lamaha. Oh, Jesus. I love You, Lord. I love You. Woo. I'm going to wrap it up. Were I not a pastor, were it not for the fact that I know people, it used to be when I first started preaching, and I hope you all understand me, please understand me, if I would have come to a meeting like this and a church like this with a pastor like this, I would have just been... And there's a lot of reason to be. Because God's done a glorious work. But I know this. This man really does have to pastor you folks. And you're real people with real problems and real fears and some real doubts. Not so much about God, but about yourself. But I'm going to tell you something. This is a great church. This is a great church. This is a great church. Hallelujah. And if we can get an understanding that in those areas that only you and your pastor are really aware of, you'll begin to get a revelation. Hey, that's no reason for me to get down. Hallelujah. I'm not a problem in the cog. Amen. I'm a human being in the kingdom. Hallelujah. And somewhere, I'm learning right now, amen, that I'm taking every problem I got. I'm taking every fear I got. I'm taking every situation in my life. And I'm bringing them to the feet of Jesus Christ. And I've got to get some grace. I've got to get some power. I've got to get some glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And this church and this city has not yet begun to know what God's going to do. We're going to cause the savor of His knowledge to be spread abroad through the city and the whole world. Hallelujah. Who is sufficient? Nobody but Him, but Him, but Him. But Him! Woo, hallelujah! And He wants to lay His hand in a deeper, richer, more powerful way in the soul of this church than He ever has. by not only using your strengths, but using your weaknesses to see His knowledge spread abroad. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I'd like for anybody and everybody in the course of these meetings, maybe a revival somewhere down inside, you've been vexed with, you name it, but tonight you're beginning to feel something gearing that says, you know what, you talk about a new lease, I'm bringing me, such as I am, to Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. And I'm wrapping it up and I'm bringing it down here. And I'm going to go to Him and feel His glory. And as we sing this chorus, amen, any situation in your life, I want you to know by the word of God Almighty, you can bring it down here tonight and let God turn it into your strength. Because where your weakness is, that's where your genius is. If you let God have His way. Hallelujah. Let's sing. There's a chorus that says, learning to lean.
Learning to lean.
Come on, friend. I got a problem. I got a trial. I got a situation. I've got something I'm bringing to Him. I'm going to touch Him. I'm going to bring it to the foot of Calvary. God, Your grace is sufficient. Your power. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Develop the genius of my spiritual
life.
Come on, friend. Come on, brothers and sisters. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Jesus, I'm learning. Oh, Jesus. Husbands and wives, bring yourselves together before the Lord.
To lean.
Oh, minister my Jesus. Touch every heart. Touch every soul. Touch every mind. Oh, my Jesus.
To lean.
Here's my problem.